This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect, just like I told you I would be, because you already know what it is and you already know the vibes. Thank you for all of that love this morning. I just decided to put out that, you know, motivational Monday thing just to kind of inspire, you know, young podcasters or, you know, anybody who just wants to start a podcast or just do something different in their life. I just figured I'd throw it out there. So I'm glad I got all that love back. So I'm going to try to start a new thing where every Monday I'm going to make sure I throw out some inspiration for you all, just for you to start your week. That's it. Like, I know sometimes things can be rough. Everybody's going through their own things, right? And we want to be respectful of that. But at the same time, we always want to motivate people, right? Want to inspire people. Be different. Do different things. You don't have to wait till the new year. You don't have to, you know, live up to whatever expectation you thought you was going to have in July, you know, January 1st. But the year's still going. You can turn things around at any moment in time. And now's the time. But anyway, I told you I was going to get back into it, right? Because the playoffs are the playoffs. And yeah, we got to talk about the Nets. So I said that if Ben Simmons did play, he would make a difference simply because he wouldn't be asked to do anything outside of what made him, you know, good in the first place, right? Or made him an all-star. It turns out that they're not listing him to play. It's just back and forth. Honestly, I don't even, it's crazy. I don't think I've ever heard of anything like this before. I've always studied the game pretty closely, especially the NBA, even since I was a kid. Always loved to write about it, always loved to watch it, observe it, learn from it, read books, all. So, and I'm sure there's still, I don't know. So if you can recall a situation like this in NBA history, and there's 75-year history, 75 years, wow. If you can recall a situation like this with Ben Simmons virtually not playing for almost, what, 2 years now, not playing all year, the back and the forth of teams and what's really going on with him, and everybody's talking about the outfits, you know. Listen, we all want to be, at least I think we all want to be sensitive to what people are going through, because at the end of the day, you never really know, right? But, there is a but. How are we going to be sensitive to a guy who chooses to wear these outfits, right, that stand out? And normally, I don't like talking about, you know, someone's apparel, because unless it's fly, right? Don't get me wrong. I know everybody's like, but it was fly, the lime green and the Louis V, the custom jersey. All right, relax. I mean, that doesn't impress me, especially if you're not even playing. If you're a model, right, or if that's what you do for a living, then I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, if you're into fashion, cool. But your team is down 0-3. I don't really care what you wear. I just think it's ridiculous, if anything, because you're sitting there, you're bringing attention to yourself. Your team is obviously in crisis. It's just the biggest slap in the face. And ultimately, it is one of the most selfish things you can do, because let's say your back is hurt, right? Let's say you're still going through something mentally. I don't even know, because that was never even cleared up. Because once we started talking about his back, that the focus has been on his back. So whatever. Let's say it's his back. Okay, it's your back. But why aren't you being a good teammate? Being a good teammate is also not only about body language, it's about helping out your team. I mean, I'm watching Kyle Lowry not being able to play, but I see him on pulling guys from the sidelines saying, you know, giving him advice like, hey, why don't you cut here? Hey, he always likes to move to his right. Why don't you get in front of him, jump in front of him before he gets there? You know, I see guys like that making a difference, not being, you know, in the front and center, you know, jumping off the bench. So when everybody else is wearing all black and you're wearing, you know, all these little colorful little outfits and the camera's just constantly on you. I think the cameraman has missed a few plays because the focus has been on you the entire time. You, Ben Simmons. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And some people say fashion is how you express yourself. And I dive a little bit into fashion. I can appreciate that. But right now, the focus shouldn't be on you feeling better. You should just be there for your team, because you can't be there for them physically, right? You should be there for them emotionally, right? You can be there right by Steve Nash, learning the plays, showing you're engaged. I just don't understand why you giving people something to talk about. And maybe people would say he doesn't care. Well, you should care. You should care. You should care. Because right now, and we're not even just talking about people from the outside world like myself, we're talking about people in that locker room. And no, I didn't get a quote from them. No, I didn't. I'm not a mind reader. But if you're on a team and one of the guys on the team is going through shoot around, right, who seems to be available, you know, dressing the way he does, bringing attention to himself, that's not a sign of a good teammate. If you want to bring attention to yourself because, you know, you're playing and you're actively involved, more power to you, bro. You deserve that attention. You're playing, you're helping your team win, and then you balling on and off the court. Love it. I love the whole NBA style. I even said MLB needs to start doing that, so that way they can not only, you know, get their endorsements and different things like that, but also get the next generation involved in your game more. You know, just to make sure baseball still stays around. Because even though I don't watch it, I'm not a fan like some, but I wouldn't want to see it go away or just be so far, you know, that we don't even think about it anymore. I still think of it as America's pastime. But the point is, why would you want all that attention on yourself when you're a part of a team in which you can't help right now, according to you? You can't help. You can't impact who wins or loses the game physically, right? Because you can't go. You can't go out there and play. Cool. But there's other ways. There's other ways to do it. And by wearing all those flashy outfits, I don't know. That just doesn't say a good teammate to me. I even reached out. I asked, you know, because I'm on a couple of different streams, just to kind of feel, you know, to get a feel, because you always want a different perspective. You know, you don't always have to just get mine. I invite and even encourage people to have a different, you know, perspective or even a different approach than me, because maybe either I can learn something from that or it'll make for a great debate, and everybody loves good content, right? So I'm cool with that. So I was hard pressed to find someone, honestly. Even people who don't even really watch sports, when they just kind of just see how he's acting just from an outsider standpoint, it's just not a good look. It's not a good look. And I really hope we don't have to wait for a 30 for 30 in order to really get the scoop on what is going on. Daryl Morey obviously won this trade with James Harden and Ben Simmons. Everybody thought the Nets won this. I get it. But man, and everybody was on James Harden. But he's playing. He'll have bad games, weather the storm. He may not say all the right things. He may go out to places that maybe you know you don't agree with right after the game, right after a loss. But he is playing. That's more than I can say for Ben. Let's be real. You look around the NBA, guys are playing hurt. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say you should play injured, because if you were injured, meaning you literally cannot go, you got to shut it down. That's fine. But then we got to look to the Nets. Why even entertain the idea of Ben Simmons playing? I know when they made that decision, technically they were only down 0-2. I understand that. But still, I would make that a decision very last minute because you never know how this sort of thing is going to go. He has not played all season. Kyrie Irving already spoke to the chemistry and how he feels that they're already behind when it comes to that, knowing that the Celtics have gelled around Christmas Day and have been balling ever since. You know, offensively and defensively side of the ball, they've been great. Obviously, they have things they need to clean up, you know, because, you know, the Nets, don't get me wrong, they're going to come back hungry. The legacies are on the line right now. Little do people realize. But we have to really sit there and think, like, what could be causing this man to stay out and just not play, or even causing any type of optimism? If at this point, I feel like if you are not 100% to go, it shouldn't even be discussed. It was already shut down. They could have just said he wasn't playing. And then an hour before the game or whatever the deadline is to say, you know, who's active or who's able to play, they could have done it then. But the back and forth, it's at this point, it looks so sloppy. It looks so bad. I mean, no matter what happens this season, you want to have something to build on in the offseason moving forward. And the way things are looking now, they have so many pieces to pick up. You know, you don't envy them. But that's just my spiel on it. I mean, you could have your own take and your own feel for it. But like I said, it all boiled down to the culture, and I didn't see it. It's just a team of individuals. Unfortunately, that's just the way it was. I mean, they were literally clinging. And you see the other guys putting in so much work in that game three, right? Seth and Patty Mills. And I was having a lot of interesting conversations on Facebook too, and I really appreciate you guys for really engaging with me, because it not only does it show a different perspective, but, you know, it does make you think, like, okay. You know, but obviously there's some bias, right? Because some people, you know, are from Brooklyn or New York, whatever, and they obviously had a lot of high hopes, and I can appreciate that. I know I'm a Knicks fan. I know what it's like to get your hopes up and just for it to just be shattered. Not in this fashion. I'll be fair, because this was pretty epic. I'll give you guys that. But at the same time, when we were going back and forth on Facebook and people are asking, you know, about who's their point guard, well, they did ultimately choose James Harden. But once you realized that he was no longer a part of the equation, once you decided to trade him off, I assume you were trying to make your point guard to be Ben Simmons. But once you realized that he was not going to be available, and you understand that he has this back injury that you guys have been shoving down our throats, so who is your point guard, right? It's listed as Kyrie Irving. I understand it doesn't make much sense. That's not the role that he's in. He's a shoot-first mentality, right? You need more of a distributor, which speaks to why KD is having the series that he's having, because not only, I mean, let's not also, you know, say too much about the Nets, because we have to give credit to the Celtics. The Celtics have been doing their thing, locking down the defense. But again, culture. Big difference. Anyway, it all boiled down to who is gonna get your superstars the ball. They didn't have that. Because even when you go down the roster, right? Patty Mills, Seth Curry, all scoring guards, right? They're more of a two guard. Not really a one. Can they play the one? Sure. But like I had already previously mentioned, there's only one ball. bunch of shooters. Who's going to be willing to not shoot? I know what you're thinking. It. Ben Simmons. But we already said that he's not going to go. He's not playing. There were no provisions. There were no plans made for that. They were assuming that he was going to be ready to go at some point. And when you have KD and you have Kyrie, you're thinking that's all it takes. Wrong. That's not all it takes. Kyrie even alluded to this. The Celtics have been together, that core, for quite some time. They know how to play together now, right? They've had their problems, but they went through that. They didn't just go through it. They grew through it. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. They didn't just go through it. They grew through it. Meaning, they had to make their situation a little uncomfortable, right? They had to have arguments. They had to hold each other accountable. And they had to really figure out, like, hey, either we're going to make this work or we're not. And that's what it all boiled down to. And they chose to make it work. And look at Tatum. We already knew how good he was. But he is ascending to superstar level talent. We've already seen glimmers of it. But this series, I believe, can be the start of his greatness. Right? He's done great things some good things in the past. But when you're doing this to this Nets team, when you think about that they were the favorites to win it all, at least to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and getting swept out of the first round. Now, be that as it may, they have not got swept yet because I already know they're going to come with it tonight. But imagine if Tatum puts up like 40, 50 and closes out this series. Just think about that. In Brooklyn, if he were to do that tonight, And I know a lot of people want to say, you know, is Tatum better than Durant now? Like, all right, we're not going crazy here. Like, let's bring it down. Now we have to, this is where we get back to reality. KD is still KD. Let's just put it out there. Tatum is in a better system. I, like a lot of other people, feel that it's arguably that Durant should have never went to Brooklyn. You know, he was in a comfortable situation and maybe it was too comfortable. Maybe he felt like he still needed to grow more, but that's why he said he left OKC, and we kind of understood that. Well, actually, no, we didn't. But that was for other reasons. That was because of the, you know, 3-1. But we don't need to bring that up. But I think of that's when he became the villain. I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, once you got over the emotion of it all, of, okay, if you're going to join the guys, you know, who beat you and you were up 3-1, I get it. And he definitely got dogged out for that. But at the same time, I'm just saying, as we've went through all of that already, we've gotten to the point where we've heard his side of it. Yeah, we hated him for a while. You know, I just mean like the masses. You know, they felt some type of way about it, and rightly so. Okay, but we're over it, right? I mean, to an extent, you know, we still think about it. We're still like, when you think about LeBron and everybody else and you try to, you know, put them in a certain category, that's when we have that conversation. But when you say that you wanted to do this because you needed to grow and you needed to do this, and winning does solve a lot of problems, right? Because we went over to Golden State and he won two championships and was the MVP of those said championships. I didn't really hear much talking after that, right? Besides just more hate because he joined a 72-win team. Okay. But then he left that. Still unclear why. I think I heard his explanation a few times, but I'm still not clear. I don't think I still quite understand why he did. It definitely has a lot to do with the way things are playing out. But at the same time, I just need people to just be careful. You know, Tatum is still growing his ceiling. We don't know his ceiling just yet. He's still getting there. So can he surpass KD? We can only wait and see. But right now, we are witnessing greatness. And if we're talking legacy, you know, I just say that this is a stain on KD. I'm not going to put it completely on him because I know the Nets screwed up completely. But listen to me. Try to stay with me. Stay with me. I'm saying it's a stain because people love comparing him to LeBron. Now, that's when you got to put things into perspective. You can't do it. Can't be done. Can't not be done. We've seen LeBron do, or what he's done in the past with less, right? And we've also seen what he's done with Kyrie, right? So that's why I feel when people are already ready to make that conversation about Tatum and KD, I don't think that's the right conversation. I don't think that's the right question, whether you think Tatum is better than KD or can surpass him. That's not the right question. The question is, or how about, not even really the question, it's more like a question has been answered for us. KD is not better than LeBron. When we asked that question before, and everybody got to say, oh, is KD better than LeBron? Or people, you know, were over here who loved KD and thought KD was better because he was a better scorer. LeBron, he's not only a more efficient scorer. It depends on how you look at things, right? Are you talking about numbers category-wise? Or are you talking about high-level sniper-type efficient? It just depends on what you're talking about. Are you talking about more wins, leading their team to a championship without the defense having to worry about like a Steph Curry or Klay? Come on. That question has finally been answered. KD is not better than LeBron. KD would have to pull off the ultimate miracle. He would have to pull off something that's never been done in NBA history. And it would be crazy if he was able to do this on the 75th anniversary of the NBA by coming back from 0-3 and to win the series by averaging 35-40 plus. And that would mean the Celtics would have to have the most epic meltdown in franchise NBA basketball history. Really. But Tatum's great. This is just going to ultimately just catapult him into that conversation. Not make him better than Durant, but it puts him in the conversation. Tonight's a big night. People ask me about Kyrie. Kyrie's going to be Kyrie. You know, some of those shots that he normally makes those shots. So I don't understand. Like, sometimes shots just don't go in. I don't think Kyrie was the one that we were necessarily worried about in these past games. It's been Kevin Durant. Those have been the guys. I mean, that's been the guy that we've been worried about because the way the Celtics have been playing him. Now, it's up to Nash, right, to call some plays for Kevin Durant, because sometimes it looks like there are none. Like, really? We can't get Kevin Durant the ball? You know, one of the greatest shooters. We can't get him the ball? And your season is on the line, playoff hopes. Everything's on the line tonight to at least not get swept. But just to set the record straight, I already know I'm gonna get killed for thinking that LeBron's a better shooter. I didn't say that. It just depends on how you look at things. I'm talking about when it comes to winning, putting the team on your back and you are solely responsible. All that pressure. That's what I'm talking about. Kevin Durant had plenty of opportunities to do that in Golden State when he was in OKC, actually, when he was up on Golden State 3-1. All right, he was young, still growing, still doing his thing. You know, we tore him apart for leaving and then joining Golden State. I think everybody would have been fine if he left and went somewhere else, but he decided to do that. Okay, cool. But I will say this. I do not believe the series is over. If it does, then we already know why, right? It's tough to come back. They probably didn't even bother. Maybe guys already booked their flights. I don't know. But you have to at least expect that the Nets are going to come out swinging. And it's going to be up to the Celtics to actually just bob and weave and just kind of sustain it. You know, make sure that they don't go on too big of runs. And that's going to come with timely timeouts, right? Substitutions, matching up. Because really, the Celtics are not really having to match. Like, they don't need to make those adjustments. They need to just clean up. Keep doing what you're doing, but just clean it up a bit. You know, because the game is going to be close. And that's just not going to be, we can't just say, like, okay, the Celtics fell asleep on defense. No, it's just because the Nets are going to be coming out with everything that they have. I truly believe that because I just can't believe that any, like, true competitor can kind of just be okay with just being swept. I don't believe it. And you saw that last night even with the Denver Nuggets in Golden State, right? Denver did not want to go out like that, and this team fought for him, right, for the Joker, MVP finalists, right? You don't want to go out like that, regardless of your situation. You don't want to make excuses. You don't have Jamal Murray. You don't have Michael Porter Jr. So what? Next man up. We're not getting swept, regardless. And they proved that. You know, like, that's showing pride. That's showing that you care. That's showing you ain't going out like that. Even the Jazz stepping up and winning that game and tying their series and letting guys know, like, listen, we know we've had years of inconsistency, you know, of not doing what we have to do, and they're showing up. That's the point. They're showing up. It's up for the Nets to either show up. Otherwise, I think there should be a lot of changes next season. But, hey, I'm not in their front office. I'll let them figure it out. I just hope that they a little more careful about who they select and understand that this is not the type of thing you could just slap together. But like I said, I expect a really good series. I think Nets should win it. It is going to be a close one because I think the Nets, like I said, are going to come out swinging. The Celtics are going to do what they can to withstand it, but I don't know if they're going to be able to take it home. Just because I think the Nets owe it to their fans more, even though they just look so depleted. But like I said, if anything, Brooklyn, do it for the fans. But anyway, let's talk about some franchises that are not scared at the moment, don't make excuses, and who are balling out last night, staying up watching them. Listen, the Pelicans are so impressive. The way they fought, from it didn't even matter that the Phoenix Suns are there. People say, okay, we understand Devin Booker's out, but that game when he went out early, they still won that game. Yeah, the Pelicans are fighting. They're just flat out getting it done. And when I knew that they were the real deal, when they were not trying to let the Suns come back, was when they were forcing Chris Paul to even turn the ball over, the backcourt violation. These guys are balling. I was like, I'm just sitting here watching it, and I was like, the Pelicans are serious. Brandon Ingram, I love it. This is the Brandon Ingram everybody was waiting for ever since he was drafted by the Lakers. This is what we've been waiting for. You already knew what CJ McCollum was going to do. It's just remarkable how they were able to gel, right? That didn't take any time right by the trade deadline. They got that trade done. They didn't make excuses with Zion and, You know, that's a whole nother story about whether he may show up in the series or maybe show up in the next series if this ends up being an upset. But props to the Pelicans, the way they've been playing. Valanciunas, man, like you can just look around and you just see the Pelicans' energy. And it is true. They have no pressure. They are playing with house money. We understand that. But it doesn't matter. They're showing up and they're not making any excuses. You know, the Suns have been here before. They know what it's like to play without Booker. They've had to play without Chris Paul as well. So, but they, Pelicans got them rattled. And now that series is tied. Suns definitely need to watch out and make their necessary adjustments and not just look at these Pelicans like the regular old Pelicans. These Pelicans are different. They're coming. And if they're not careful, this can be an upset. And big shout out to Willie Green. He's got that team prepared. He's on the sideline. He's not like super aggressive, but he's engaged. He's engaged with his players. He seems like he understands them. The players seem to understand him and what game plan he wants to execute. And players are just flat out getting it done. You can tell the difference between players who are not just who are playing more for them, not just for themselves. They're playing more than for themselves. It's about the team. And more importantly, it's about the coach. When you see that extra effort, I always say when you see the way guys play on defense, the way they come together, the way they're listening, the way they're executing game plans, their body language, that's them playing for the coach. They love their coach. I'm telling you, just watch. You can see it. And really quickly, just as for the Jazz and the Mavs, the Jazz got really lucky for that blown call. Honestly, that was very close. They got lucky. I know I was happy just because Donovan Mitchell's my guy, but at the same time, man, the Jazz have not figured it out. They're the same. They're the same. They're just staying in it. But the minute Luka really gets really back to 100%, Brunson's playing the way he's been playing. Dinwiddie also, collectively, Jason Kidd as the leader. It's crazy. I mean, I had the Mavs getting through this series, so this is actually going exactly the way I thought it would. Jazz maybe get two games, you know, off of sheer will or just fighting for pride. But other than that, I don't really see much else happening with that series. But if you have any other comments, questions, anything, you always know you can holler at me, DM me. It's so much fun during these playoffs. I love it. I love how the games are tight regardless of the outcomes. But guys, thanks again for the support. As always, listen, like, subscribe. Remember one thing, losses equals life lessons. I'm out. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.